Shalom, Boker Tov, peace and good morning. I'm just showing off my limited Hebrew as I've just returned from voluntary isolation and lockdown in Israel to the same here. But Shalom is an appropriate greeting for Palm Sunday. We were staying with our daughter Alison and John, her husband, who run the Church Mission to the Jews guest house at Migdal, overlooking Galilee. It's the next town to Magdala, where Mary Magdalene came from. So as you can see, it's not a hard place to be in lockdown. For my time in Israel, my daily paper has been the Jerusalem Post. If it had been in circulation in Jesus' time, you can guess who would have made the headlines all this week. And page 10 is the major comment of the day. Well, that would be the chief priest or his spokesman. To put today's reading, namely Mark 14:32 to 1547, in the timeline of events. They occur on Thursday evening and Friday of this week. But first, to review the events leading up to them, it's John in chapter 12, verse 1, who gives us the timeline. He says, 6 days before Passover, Jesus arrived at Bethany, where Lazarus lived, with his sisters Mary and Martha. So, that would have been last Friday, Saturday being Shabbat, their Sabbath. They would have rested and no doubt enjoyed the evening Shabbat meal. While we were in Migdal, Iman, the Christian Arab lady chef, prepared the Shabbat meal with the blessing of the bread, the blessing of the wine, the blessing of the family, all interspersed with prayers and songs, and then we ate. This has been the Jewish tradition for hundreds of years. Palm Sunday. We then come to the events of today, when Jesus commissioned his disciples to fetch the colt, which they did as Mark records. They threw their cloaks over it. Jesus sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." And slowly the procession proceeded along the road, over the Mount of Olives, down into the Kidron Valley, and up and through the Golden Gate into Jerusalem and into the temple court. In so doing, Jesus fulfilled the prophetic word of Zechariah 9, verse 9 onwards. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will take away the chariots from Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. Jesus, having reached the temple courts, it was late in the day, so Jesus returned to home in Bethany. Monday morning. Have you read the Jerusalem Post? It's all about Jesus riding into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday and the acclamations of the crowds. Oh, and have you read the comments of the high priest on page 10? I won't repeat what he said. It wasn't very nice. But reading between the lines, I think he might have even been fearful of Jesus. Tuesday. If you read the headlines yesterday, wow, look at today's Tuesday. It's all about Jesus turning over the tables of the money changers and the benches of those who sold doves. They even quote Jesus saying, "My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of robbers." There's not much of a comment today. High priests and co are frightened of his popularity with the people. They plan to engage Jesus in discussion and try to trip him up. Mark records the day's discussions, which range from the challenge of paying taxes to Caesar, the marriage and the resurrection, then the greatest commandment of all. At which point, Mark says, none dare ask him any more questions. Mark also records how Jesus, sitting over by the treasury, noticing the rich putting in large amounts, when along came a poor widow who put in 2 small copper coins worth only a fraction of a penny. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "This poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all that she had to live on." In Jesus' eyes, it's not what you give, but your heart and how you give. Just as they were leaving the temple court to return to Bethany, the disciples asked about the end of the age. So that's what occupied their discussion as they returned home. Now, Wednesday, Jesus decided to cool it for the day, staying in Bethany. But while Jesus and his disciples do that, back in Jerusalem, the high priest and his cohorts are planning to arrest Jesus and get him crucified. Meanwhile, Jesus strolls down to the home of Simon the leper. While sitting at a table, a woman comes and anoints Jesus on the head with a very expensive perfume. It's John who tells us the woman was Mary, sister to Martha. Several complained at the expense, saying money would be better given to the poor. But no, Jesus says, "Mary has done this to prepare my body for my burial, and what she has done would be told throughout the world wherever the gospel is preached. It was at this time Judas Iscariot slipped away to the high priest to arrange to betray Jesus. Thursday, the Passover, the Last Supper or Lord's Supper, Jesus tells the disciples of an upper room in Jerusalem where they should go and prepare for the Feast of Unleavened Bread and to eat the Passover. In the evening, as they are eating, he tells them that one will betray him. And we know that discourse. Then Jesus takes the bread, giving thanks, and says, "Take, eat, this is my body." Jesus then takes the cup, gives thanks, and gives to them, saying, "This is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many," saying he would not drink of the fruit of the vine until he drinks it anew in the kingdom of God. This reminds me of Jesus' baptism, when John the Baptist pointed out Jesus and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." There's an old hymn that says, "Not all the blood of beast on Jewish altars slain could give the guilty conscience peace or take away the stain, but Christ, the heavenly Lamb, took all our sins away." What a saviour. Then, having had the meal, having sung a hymn, they leave for the Mount of Olives. As they walk, Jesus quotes from Zechariah again, "I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered." Then Jesus says, "After I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." Peter, in conversation with him, says that he won't fall away, to which Jesus says, "Tonight, before the cock crows twice, you, Peter, will deny me three times." This is where today's reading commences, Mark 14:32. If you have your Bibles, then turn to it now. I will be reading from the NIV. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death," he said to them. "Stay here and keep watch." Going a little further, he fell to the ground and prayed that, if possible, the hour might pass from him. "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." Then he returned to his disciples, found them sleeping. "Simon," he said to Peter, "are you asleep? Could you not keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. Once more, he went away and prayed the same thing. When he came back, he found them sleeping. Because their eyes were heavy, they did not know what to say to him. Returning the third time, he said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Enough. The hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise. Let us go. Here comes my betrayer." Just as he was speaking, Judas, one of the 12, appeared with him. It was a crowd armed with swords and clubs sent from the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. "The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him and lead him away under guard." Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, "Rabbi," and kissed him. The men seized Jesus and arrested him. Then one of those standing near drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. "Am I leading a rebellion," said Jesus, "that you come out here with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I was with you, teaching in the temple courts, and you did not arrest me. But the scriptures must be fulfilled." Then everyone deserted him and fled. A young man, wearing nothing but a linen garment, was following Jesus. When they seized him, he fled naked, leaving his garment behind. Before the Sanhedrin, they took Jesus to the high priest, and all the chief priests, elders, and teachers of the law came together. Peter followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest. There he sat with the guards and warmed himself at the fire. The chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for evidence against Jesus so that they could put him to death, but they did not find any. Many testified falsely against him, but their statements did not agree. Then some stood up and gave this false testimony against him. "We heard him say, 'I will destroy this man-made temple, and in 3 days will build another, not made by man.'" Yet even then, their testimony did not agree. Then the high priest stood up before them and asked Jesus, "Are you not going to answer? What is this testimony that these men are bringing against you?" But Jesus remained silent and gave no answer. Again, the high priest asked him, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One?" "I am," said Jesus. "And you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven." The high priest tore his clothes. "Why do we need any more witnesses?" he asked. "You have heard the blasphemy. What do you think?" They all condemned him as worthy of death. Then some began to spit at him. They blindfolded him, struck him with their fists, and said, "Prophesy." And the guards took him and beat him. While Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came by. When she saw Peter warming himself, she looked closely at him. "You also were with the Nazarene Jesus," she said. But he denied it. "I don't know or understand what you're talking about," he said, and went out into the entrance. When the servant girl saw him there, she said again to those standing around, "This fellow is one of them." Again he denied it. After a little while, those standing near said to Peter, "Surely you are one of them. You are a Galilean." He began to call down curses on himself, and he swore to them, "I don't know this man you're talking about." Immediately, the cock crowed the second time. Then Peter remembered word of Jesus spoken to him. "Before the cock crows twice, you will disown me three times." And he broke down and wept. Jesus before Pilate. Very early in the morning, the chief priests with the elders and teachers of the law and the whole Sanhedrin reached a decision. They bound Jesus, led him away, and turned him over to Pilate. "Are you the king of the Jews?" asked Pilate. "Yes, it is as you say," Jesus replied. The chief priests accused him of many things, so Pilate asked him, "Aren't you going to answer? See how many things they are accusing you of." But Jesus still made no reply, and Pilate was amazed. Now, it was the custom at the feast to release a prisoner whom the people requested. A man called Barabbas was in prison with the insurrectionists who had committed murder in the uprising. The crowd came up and asked Pilate to do for them what he usually did. "Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" asked Pilate, knowing it was for envy that the chief priests had handed Jesus over to him. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have Pilate release Barabbas instead. "What shall I do then with the one you call the king of the Jews?" Pilate asked them. "Crucify him," they shouted. "Why? What crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him!" Wanting to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them. He had Jesus flogged and handed over to be crucified. The soldiers led Jesus away into the palace, that is, the praetorium, and called together the whole company of soldiers. They put a purple robe on him, then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him. And they began to call out to him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Again and again they struck him on the head with a staff and spat on him. Falling on their knees, they paid homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe and put on his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him. A certain man from Cyrene, Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by on his way in from the country, and they forced him to carry the cross. They brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of a skull. Then they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him. Dividing up his clothes, they cast lots to see what each would get. It was the third hour of the day when they crucified him. The written notice of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." they crucified two robbers with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "So you, who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, come down from the cross and save yourself." In the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law mocked him among themselves. He saved others, they said, but he can't save himself. "Let this Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross, that we may see and believe." Those crucified with him also heaped insults on him. At the sixth hour, darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing near heard this, they said, "Listen, he's calling Elijah." One man ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a stick and offered it to Jesus to drink. "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down," he said. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus heard his cry and saw how he died, he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." Some women were watching from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and the younger, and of Joseph and Salome. In Galilee, these women had followed him and cared for his needs. Many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem were also there. It was the preparation day, that is, the day before the Sabbath. So as evening approached, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent member of the council, who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Pilate was surprised to hear that he was already dead. Summoning the centurion, he asked him if Jesus had already died. When he learned from the centurion that it was so, he gave the body to Joseph. So Joseph brought some linen cloth, took down the body, wrapped it in the linen, and placed it in the tomb, cut out of rock. Then he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where he was laid. That's the end of the reading for today. Whilst the reading speaks for itself, just one or two comments. In Mark's account of the arrest of Jesus, he fails to mention that Jesus healed the ear of the high priest. Also, theologians suggest that Mark was too shy to tell us that he was the one who ran away naked. In Mark 15:27, Mark mentions the two robbers crucified with him, but it's Luke in 23:41 who tells us of the robber that rebukes the other, pointing out that Jesus had done nothing wrong, then asking Jesus to remember him when he came into his kingdom. And Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." In 15:31, The chief priests and teachers of the law said, he saved others, but he can't save himself. Little did they know how right they were. As the scriptures say, he who knew no sin became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. In my place, condemned, he stood. Jesus died for me. Mark 15:38 records that after Jesus, with a loud voice, breathed his last, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom. The significance of which may be lost to the bystander, but it indicated that Jesus has made the way into the presence of God for you and me. The high priest couldn't see it, but the centurion in verse 39, standing there in front of Jesus, when he heard his cry and saw how he died, he said, surely this man was the Son of God. As you have listened and read again the story of the crucifixion, do you, like the centurion, recognize that Jesus is truly the Son of God, the Savior of the world? That he's your Savior? If not, ask him to forgive you and to be your Savior now. Let's thank him now as we listen to the song. Shalom. God bless you.